Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared.
From the Rogue Nation and Eternal Militia. It is an open letter to the New World Order. You have had control for so many years, played your war games, making money off both sides of the wars, robbing the common citizens of this nation every way we turn, our gas, our food, our utilities, our toys, etc. But the internet has turned out to be your own worst enemy. We know you now. Patriots like myself have researched and found out who you are, where you work, where you eat, where you live, where you play. We watch you every day. We are the guy sitting in the car across the street. We are that new guy who just joined your church or came to work for one of your companies. We live for the day when you will be dealt the same level of evil and cruelty you have been dealing all of humanity. You may know everything about us too, but we don't care. I pray that you try to round me up for one of your FEMA death camps. For you would rather tickle a tiger's ass inside a phone booth than try to take me alive. We fear you not. We may wait on you to make your first move to try to take our liberties, or we may go ahead and strike first and remove you from the face of the earth. All your money and power will not protect you from our vengeance, which we will have very, very soon. You forget there is strength in numbers. You forget there are still American patriots by the millions who will never submit to you or be your slaves. You forget about the 200 million firearms on the streets of America. All you New World Order thugs combined, Blackwater, the brainwashed military, the thug jackbooted cops, FEMA stormtroopers, United Nations peacekeepers, cannot even come close to defeating us. You will make your last and stupid mistake when you declare martial law and try to round us up. But we will fight to the death and take you with us. You should never sleep easy, for you never know when you may wake up in the middle of the night with a Colombian necktie and us standing over you, laughing, while you take your last breath and when we the people take this nation back from your evil grip. We will hunt you to the ends of the earth and shoot you down like mangy dogs. Sweet dreams, motherfuckers. That communication came in from a sniper. I suggest you think about what the fuck you're doing to our goddamn country. Now, a message from the Sons of Liberty concerning the New World Order. You're fucked.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
He was running so fast, he had an explosion on him.
calling themselves members of the Weather Underground, last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you can be used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
All right, everybody, how you doing? It's Joseph Gibson, live on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina tonight at 6.06 p.m. Sometimes I extend the introduction because I try to connect a few people here who want to be connected, and then others, I'm trying to connect them, and I don't know where they are. People request a Sunday show, and they're nowhere to be found. So, you know, that's why I really don't really pay too much attention to when people request things and they say, wow, why is Neon on Sunday? Well, because when I do broadcast on Sunday and I put everything off to the side that I want to do and things I have to do, my friends and family are nowhere to be found. Now, there are supporters out there. Joe and Sebastian Florida, of course, he's there. He's always willing to listen. We got Bit Banker, Elizabeth Rondo, a few others. I don't have to name all the names, but there's a few others, about three others that listen. But, you know, hey, where are you? You know, you complain, you want me to broadcast, well, where are you? But it doesn't matter because the show takes off. And we always have something to talk about one way or the other. Just look at what we have accomplished over the last year and a half we've been on the air, all the people we've interviewed. And really, I want to get back to reaching out to some people and trying to get some scheduled guests on to talk about, you know, situations, their problems. I know we addressed a lot of stories that with CPS. And CPS is important to the mothers and fathers out there who have children. Other people, they don't care to talk about it. But, you know, see, that's why I'm trying to steer the show a little bit more towards politics right now, because politics is what we're all interested in. I mean, that's what even the mainstream media is talking about, politics. That's the most important thing on our minds today, politics. You know, so I did a little research here, you know, on Hillary Clinton. We all know she's a criminal, you know. And I did a little research on her this afternoon so I could put together a show real quick. And by the way, I'm going to try to schedule a guest for Thursday so we can maybe a couple guests at once. I'm going to try to put that together for this Thursday show. Thursday we will broadcast. And for those of you who are sports fans, I apologize about the Monday morning quarterback show. However, apparently that show name is copyrighted. And I was told that I cannot use that name. That's why I have not done the Monday morning quarterback show. So I need to change the title up a little bit. So that, and it kind of discouraged me a little bit. So I'm going to change the title up a little bit tonight and look into it and see if I can come up with a better title. You know, maybe armchair quarterback or something. Anyone who, if anyone has any suggestions, something I should use that concerning Monday, because we all know Sunday is football day, and I have to do a sports show on Monday afternoon at 3:30, and I've neglected that over the last 4 weeks, and that was because of the title, like I just said. So if anyone has a suggestion of a title that would sound good, I appreciate if you email me or put it in the chat room, and I'll look at the chat room a little bit later. And I'd be glad to take people's advice, because I really need to do my sports show on Monday. I really do. So there's a couple people out there that I was hoping that would tune in tonight. Mike from Wisconsin. I don't see Mike from Wisconsin tonight. I hope he's okay. I hope he's doing well. I know he's home. We spoke to him. I know he requested me to do a show on Sunday, but I don't see Mike from Wisconsin on the line tonight. I hope you're not out at a restaurant tonight, Mike. And I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're feeling well, and, you know, watching your health and taking care of your diet the right way. I know last week when you talked to us, you said, you know, you got to watch your diet, you got to watch your salt intake, and pay attention to what you're eating out there. So, all right, I think that's Mike that just queued in right now, right on cue. Mike, just so in case you missed it, I was hoping that you're doing well, and I was worried about you. So, yeah, I know last week you talked about, hey, you got to watch what you eat, you got to watch your salt intake, and pay attention to your diet. You're in a bad health situation here. So hopefully you're doing well, and you're paying attention to what you eat, and, you know, maybe doing a little exercise. You know, like I said, I'm not the expert out there. I know we got a couple people who know about natural cures on the line tonight and know about plants and stuff like that. Maybe we can readdress that. But I really want to pay attention to the politics of the I really want to pay attention to that and address the politics for the next couple shows, because that's what's important, and that's what we as a nation are focusing on right now. And, you know, I did a little research again, like I said, about Hillary Clinton. And, you know, these are the things that nobody's talking about. You know, an article I pulled up by John Sexton. It's a little older article, but why wasn't it addressed? I'm going to read it to you. An investigation into possible mishandling of classified information on Hillary Clinton's private email server has expanded to consider whether Clinton's work as secretary overlapped with her work for the Clinton Foundation, run by her family. Fox News' Catherine Herridge published a report citing unnamed FBI sources Monday morning. The report indicates the initial security referral looking into whether or not classified information was mishandled, as expanded to look at possible public corruption involving the Clinton Foundation. The report paints a picture of an internal struggle within the FBI over whether or not to prosecute Clinton. Wait a second here. What do you mean an internal struggle whether or not to prosecute? Either she broke the law or she didn't. What the hell is wrong with... Where are the American people on this issue? Either she broke the law or she didn't. That's why we have grand juries. That's why we have courts. What the hell is she doing running for president if she committed umpteen amounts of felonies? If one of you obtained classified information, or were on an email account, or even hacked into a private server, or obtained classified military information or governmental documentation information, you would be paid a visit by a SWAT team so fast your head would spin. You'd be laying there in bed at 4:30 in the morning, and your door would be kicked in, your dog would be shot, probably your firstborn son, and you'd be put in handcuffs, hauled off to a federal prison with a $500 million bond, and you'd sit there for 2 years, going to court back and forth, and then sentenced to 50 to life in prison. That's what would happen to you if you did what this criminal Hillary Clinton did. The report paints a picture of an internal struggle within the FBI on whether or not to prosecute. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. One parallel, said to be weighing on the FBI is the prosecution of David Petraeus. Petraeus pled guilty to a misdemeanor for sharing highly classified information with his biographer and lover, Paula Broadwell, and also for lying to the FBI. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor. What a deal. A two-year investigation concluded that none of the classified information ever appeared in Broadwell's book. Nevertheless, Petraeus' treatment was considered a slap on the wrist by some agents within the FBI. As many as 100 special agents are said to be working on the investigation. 100, folks, 100 FBI agents were working on this investigation to slap them on the wrist when they could be going out catching bank robbers, child molesters, terrorists, Muslims who want to blow you up, or what have you, or whatever. But they're investigating these classified emails, and they give this guy, David Petraeus, a slap on the wrist. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Over 1,300 documents on Clinton's server have been deemed classified thus far. That means she had over 1,300 classified documents on her server, in her private email. Private, which is a national security violation, folks. National security violation. With more to come as the State Department continues to release new emails each month. Two of the emails have been judged to have contained top secret material at the time they were sent. The State Department initially suggested the information in those emails, folks, may have come from a parallel intelligence source, but apparently dropped that claim. The department then asked for a review of those classifications in an attempt to have them downgraded. But a final determination by the Director of National Intelligence, hang on, let me forward this, found the emails did contain top secret information at the time they were sent by Hillary Clinton on her private server. Through her private emails. Clinton's former IT person, Brian Pagolino, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, chose to plead the fifth rather than answer questions about his involvement with Clinton's unique email arrangement. How disgusting. She committed, well, if it says 1,300 documents that were classified, that's 1,300 felonies, folks. If you were to bring her up on charges, if I was to go out and break into 1,300 houses, that would be 1,300 felonies I would commit. And that's what Hillary Clinton did. She committed 1,300 felonies. But yet, she's running for president. She's leading in the polls. Hey, why not? Why not? I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy, guys. It's crazy, man. Hillary's legacy of scandal. I looked this up, too. You know, real quick here before I start to get some calls and request people to call in and comment on this. How the hell can this woman be running for president? You know how you get the scandals after someone becomes president? You get this, like Bill Clinton. You know, with all the with Monica Lewinsky and I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Remember when he said that? And then he came out, 8 months later and apologized that he did. He was wrong. And, you know, and then he got impeached. Technically, he was impeached, but not thrown out of office, which is another, we'll go mad. I don't even want to get into that. That's another bureaucratic nonsense, bull crap. But anyway, he was impeached, and they found him guilty of lying to the, you know, and committing perjury too, which he was never prosecuted on. But anyway, we need to talk about Hillary right now. That was back then, and people should have acted on it back then about Bill Clinton and his criminal acts. But we're going to put criminal Bill Clinton back in the White House with his wife as president now. That's how stupid you Americans are. But anyway, this is American Thinker by Jeffrey T. Brown, real quick. I'll read a couple paragraphs here. Hillary Clinton's legacy of scandal. In the midst of the eruption of the near-daily scandals involving the Obama administration, let us not forget that until just a few months ago, Hillary Clinton was the most significant persona within that administration, besides the president himself. Let us not also forget that notwithstanding a scandal, grenades going off all around us, Mrs. Clinton diligently plans her run for presidency, blah, blah, blah. We already know she's run for president. For as long as Hillary Clinton has been on the national scene, she has left a path of destruction and wreckage in her wake that is both impressive and terrible to behold. She is a testament to the extent of damage that can be done by one person determined to conquer everything before her in the quest for unlimited power and self-gratification. The only prize left to her in the American politics is the presidency, which she will be elected president, folks. Hate to break it to you. Which she has always felt is hers by right. Indeed, she would have attained it were it not for the upstart community organizer, a fellow admirer of Saul Alinsky, who spoke in volumes but said nothing. While such determination comes at a staggering cost, we should remind ourselves that the bill is never paid by Mrs. Clinton. Her equally ignorant husband, arrogant husband, it is paid by the country. Before we ask yet again for the check, perhaps we should remind ourselves of exactly who this woman who is. Who will soon attempt to seduce the country and her history as the object of an absurd, undeserved degree of national affection? Before accompanying her husband to the White House as our first co-president, Mrs. Clinton was working hard on becoming the first person we know her to be, as with her husband. The goal has always been the attainment of power, masquerading as public service, setting an example for the Obamas to emulate. The Clintons put self-absorption and personal victory before all else. The Clintons have always served themselves and nothing else. Do you recall the slime that was Whitewater, in which the Clintons disassembled and lied while their former business partners went to jail? Do you remember Mrs. Clinton earning $100,000 in profit in 1979 on a $1,000 investment over the course of only 9 months? In a volatile cattle futures? Does anyone know about that, folks? Look it up. About which she knew nothing, thanks to help from a highly placed Tyson Foods connection? Tyson profited handsomely in Arkansas with state loans and appointments. We are to believe that Clinton studied the Wall Street Journal to achieve a feat against which the odds were only 1 in 250 million. Do you recall the Rose Law Firm billing records that magically appeared in Mrs. Clinton's White House office years after they had been subpoenaed? Or the death, folks, of Vince Foster under rather extraordinary and explicit circumstances and the lies and cover-up that followed? Do you recall that while testifying before congressional investigators as First Lady, she answered, "I don't know" or "I don't remember" 250 times? Oh, do you recall Travelgate, in which the Clintons destroyed reputations and careers to reward campaign donors? What about the endless parade of women long known to Mrs. Clinton and laughable, passed off by her as ministering to a troubled young woman in the matter of Miss Lewinsky? Nevertheless, when the truth came out, she was entirely happy to exploit the illusion of victimhood for her own martyrdom, in the cause of political advancement. Wherever Mrs. Clinton goes, destruction follows. Of course, like the current president, nothing is ever her fault. She knows nothing. She is the innocent victim all around. Her endlessly bemoaning her fate as the victim of a vast right-wing conspiracy that somehow has directed the events of her life even before there was a vast right-wing conspiracy. Make no mistake, the Clintons and Hillary Clinton in particular hold the American public in utter contempt, but especially so their own supporters. How else to explain the countless frauds, crimes, lies they perpetrate upon their devotees, whose own intellectual honesty is devalued nothing by their loyalty? And how else beside intellectual dishonesty to rationalize somehow being a Hillary Clinton supporter? As if Benghazi was not enough. And it should have been, even with the little that has come to light thus far. Okay, folks, I mean, I can go on and on here. The Hillary Clinton is a criminal, a pure criminal, disgusting. But yet she has voters. She has voters all over the place that are supporting her. Fox News says she's leading in the polls. How is this possible? How? Or are they just lying to us, and we are so stupid that we don't do anything about it? Where are our sheriffs when she visits these states and counties? Let me tell you something. She came to North Carolina, Hillary Clinton, and I called my sheriff's department and asked them, "You are the sheriff. Why not arrest her for the crimes or the suspicion of crimes that she has committed, and give, or why not convene a grand jury and have her arrested and tried in the court of law? If it was you or I, folks, we sure as hell would be arrested and prosecuted, and let me tell you, we'd be sitting in prison for a long, long time. Even if, especially Benghazi. Oh God, that's a whole nother show, Benghazi. Oh, what difference does it make?" she said. "What difference does it make? Americans lost their lives." That is when our military realized that nobody is to be left behind was ended. They left our people behind. They were left behind to die and suffer and killed because Hillary Clinton made that decision. Anyway, folks, I want to open up the phone lines. Let's see here. I don't know if I have anyone who wants to press 1 and contribute. And if anyone's in the chat, I haven't checked the chat room yet. But I would hope some of my supporters would comment on my opening and introduction tonight because, you know, it's very important. The politics of today is important. And we know people have said votes don't count. Your vote doesn't count. You know, does it really not count? Can anyone explain the electoral or the delegates or the electoral process on how it works? I want you to think about that, what I've just spoken about, because I was, real quick before I forget, actually, I was supposed to check in with Dr. Ventura tonight, and I've misplaced his number, I think. No, I've got it right here. I was supposed to check in with Dr. Ventura tonight. He asked me to check in with him. But I want a couple of my supporters to check in with me tonight about the politics. I'm going to check the chat room, too. I don't know how many people. Like I said, I didn't advertise the show too much because I didn't know if I was going to do a Sunday show. So I apologize if there's not, you know, if I gave people last-minute notice. But I'm typing in Dr. Ventura's number while I'm talking here. I want to check in with Dr. Ventura. He asked me to give him a call. He's going to give us a little food for thought. And I got a caller on the line. I'll get to you as soon as I check in with Dr. Ventura. Let's see if we can get a hold of him tonight.
Hello?
Hey, Dr. Ventura. How you doing? All right.
Good,
how you doing?
Brother, how are you?
Joseph Gibson. Joseph Gibson on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, I did quite an introduction. I talked about Hillary Clinton And, you know, the most important thing we're talking about today in America is what? The Republican and Democrat, this election that's coming up in November, and how powerful and what kind of impact it's going to have on our country in the next 4 years. And you as a pastor, tell me, and you're in San Diego, California. I'm here on the opposite side of the country in Greensboro, North Carolina. And tell me, you as a pastor, what's your vibe? I mean, what's your opinion on everything? I mean, what do you preach about? And what? I mean, just give me your take on the politics of today.
Well, I think that the history's already written, biblically. And as far as the election goes, I tell the congregation here that, you know, we're to pray for those in authority over us, that we live a life of in peace. However, I think that the United States of America is going to get the leader they deserve, just like Israel did. And that's kind of scary. I think that we have two people running, and you say, well, what's the lesser of the two evils? And we certainly know that Hillary Clinton you just can't put a trust in her. And many people have called me and said, well, I like to go vote independent. And I said, well, if you vote independent, you're wasting your vote. You're not going to elect an independent. There's not enough of voters. So it's either Trump or it's Clinton. And personally, I'd like to see Trump get in. I would endorse him. As far as Hillary Clinton goes, I think that's the epitome of government corruption at the highest levels. This government right now is the most corrupt I have ever seen it. And in my 59 years, going on 60, I think that we're really in trouble as a nation. And but, you know, it's biblically written in prophecy that, you know, it doesn't get better, unfortunately.
So as a Christian, and we didn't start off, you know, doing a Christian topic or whatever, but as a Christian, what do you tell the people in your church? What advice, what do you preach to them when they come to you? Like, what do I do? What do you think I should do? You know, I mean, where do I go? Where do I turn?
I tell them, don't drive in your tent stakes too deep. We're moving soon. The old army adage, you know, at boot camp in training, they tell them, don't drive in your tent stakes too far because we're moving soon. Amen. We're sojourning here. Well, we pray. We pray for our nation. We pray for that God would intervene. And in the meantime, we live our Christian lives to the best of our ability to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we've been marginalized quite a bit. I think if Hillary Clinton gets in, I think that Christianity as a whole is in serious danger. I think her non-pro-life, which she claims is a pro-life stance, is offensive. I think that people have been put in prison for less crimes than what she's committed. We've been lied to by the President of the United States. We've been lied to by the FBI. We've been lied to by Hillary Clinton. And here's a woman that says she can take care of the nation when she couldn't even take care of Benghazi. So how do we put our trust in her? And then you look at the other side and say, well, Donald...
I brought Benghazi up, actually. Yeah, I brought Benghazi up, actually. But go ahead, Peter.
Okay, then you look at the flip side and you look at Donald Trump and you say, well, you know, could we be any worse off if he got in? Hardly. I don't think so. I think that Donald Trump is a project manager, and I think that's all the things that he's done. You know, they said the tax evasions and all that. None of that's been tax evasion. It's been using the loopholes that Hillary Clinton for the last 30 years in Congress and the president supported. They made those loopholes for their rich friends, and now they're mad that Trump used them.
Dr. Ventura, what about the African Americans who I read something on Blog Talk? If Donald Trump is elected as president, they'll be enslaved again. I mean, so
I don't believe that.
His
comments
about
I believe
the Mexicans
this.
Being deported.
I don't believe that black and the minorities in this country would be enslaved. I believe that they would be liberated and done so through jobs and a better educational opportunity. Here's a guy named Obama who's from Chicago, and he hasn't even taken care of his own home. So if you can't take care of your own backyard, how are you going to take care of the rest of the world? I don't believe Trump is going to enslave anybody. I think he's going to, as a project manager, he's going to find the best people in the world to do the job, and those are the people who are going to do it, and it'll get done. as far as immigration goes. I live near a sanctuary city, which is here. I'm in Imperial Beach, California, which is the most southwest city. Our mayor signed a declaration, or a proclamation, as he called it, leading towards a sanctuary city of being Imperial Beach. And the people showed up in droves and told me, out of your mind. You know, we're just not going to have that. You might be the mayor, but we're not having
it. What do you mean sanctuary? I'm a little ignorant on that. What do you mean sanctuary city? What are you talking about?
Well, sanctuary cities, which are funded by the government, you know, they receive government funds as a city, but as any city does. But a sanctuary city means that we're not going to go out and arrest illegal mothers and children who are, standing in the supermarket lines. We know they're there. As long as they're not committing crimes,
well,
we're just going to turn
a
blind
though,
eye.
Dr. Ventura. But that's what Trump proposes. He wants to create a task force that's going to round up illegals and detain them and send them back where they came from, especially if they're here illegally. And that's what scares us.
Well, I think we're a nation of laws, aren't we? And if we want to go to somebody else's nation, we get permission to come in. You know, we don't just come into your nation and walk through the borders and say we're already disobeying the laws of your country. How could we say we respect your country? And though you have to look at the flip side of that, some of these people are coming from countries that, you know, if I lived there, I'd be trying to get over the border myself. So, you know, there's two sides to that thing. But there's a legal way to do it and a process that should be speeded up, and a way to vet certain people coming in. And, and I agree. I don't like the idea of a wall, but I agree with it. Israel's got a wall. It's 90 feet deep in the ground. 60, I think, anyway. And so they can't tunnel under it. They just found another drug tunnel out here near the military field, Brown Field, along the border of San Ysidro and Mexico. And they found five tons of drugs ready to
get
be snuck into the country.
I didn't hear about this on the media. Is in San Diego, you're saying? Because I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, so you're in San Diego.
Yes, this is along the border.
I've got a couple people on the line, so just hang on there, okay, people, please. But go ahead, Peter.
This was along the Mexican-American border near San Ysidro in California. This is not the first tunnel. Many tunnels are found here. You just don't hear about them all. But we get the local news, and, you know, we get some of that. We don't get it all. We didn't even hear about this. I heard this directly from a Border Patrol agent who's an electrician on the border. We had trucks trying to come over through the fence and got stuck there with the illegals in it. And the Border Patrol hooked up a tow truck to them, and the Army showed up on the Mexican side and tried to get their truck back. And, you know, the Border Patrol tore their truck back over the fence with a tow truck. So there's a lot of things going on at the border you don't really hear here. The Mexican Army is incursed into America.
How far away are you
times.
On Imperial? You're in Imperial Beach, San Diego, California. How far away are you from the border of Mexico?
Well, I can see the border, and I can see the flag at the border crossing from here. I can see Tijuana from here.
Okay.
And, you know, Tijuana, when you think of Mexico, you think of a destituted country. But the truth is, if you ever driven down the Interstate 5 at night coming into the lower portion of southern California, you would see it. It's just a magnificent sight to me to see all the lights and all the over there on the mountain. It's a mountain I'm looking at, which is, you know, Mexico. And had it not be for this mountain, I could see farther in. But there are so many electrical lights. It's not as destitute of a country as one would think. Although there are cartels and bad things going on,
there's bad things happening in America. Yeah, I agree with you. And you see, the news media portrays Mexico as this place where if you go there, you're going to get your head chopped off too. You know, but yeah.
Well, the
yeah,
truth
of course.
Is this.
And
yeah.
If you... go ahead.
So many Americans, not a few, many. Live in Mexico, and what they do is they park their trucks and cars on this side of the border, on the American side, and they cross over, or they drive across and they go down along the coast, and they have condominiums that we would pay, you know, $2,000-$3,000 for. They're getting them for $700, and they have security guards, and they living over there with our American dollars in Mexico, living like, you know, some of the wealthiest people in America, and they travel back and forth every day.
Yeah. And anyone who wants to participate tonight in the conversation, I know I opened up in the introduction, Trump and Hillary, and Peter, I know you missed the introduction. You know, I talked about Hillary and all the scandals and all the criminal acts she's committed. You know, why is she running for president? How was she allowed to be run for president? If you or I or anyone who's on the line tonight or anyone in the chat room or anyone who's listening committed the crimes and felonies she committed, we'd be sitting in a federal prison. So why is she getting away with it? And Dr. Ventura, I want your professional opinion on that. And if anyone wants to contribute, I know I got two callers that are waiting, so just hang on patiently. And just all you got to do is press one, and I will allow anyone to speak and voice their opinion, no matter what it is. I promise. There'll be enough time for everyone. But go ahead, Doctor.
I would like
go ahead,
to say
Dr.
This.
Peter Ventura.
And this is profound. I would like to say this. If you're a Christian and you're listening, if you're a part of the New Age movement and you're listening, if you're part of the public school system and you're listening, because you don't even know you're teaching New Age doctrine, but you are. It's just like yoga. You know, people think that yoga is just a physical calisthenic exercise, and they don't understand the implications of yoga. It's and how it's involved with the occult in their meditations, which is really it's a Hindu religion. You know what really said before I go there? I want to tell you something that really shocks me about American people, especially some of our wealthiest people. And actors and actresses and people that are involved with the New Age movement, these gurus that are over here. And what I don't understand
is how can they accept?
How can they
accept? What is the New Age movement? You know, that's interesting.
Let me go there. How could they accept the thought of the New Age movement that these gurus are going to teach them enlightenment and how to become gods and how to become divine? And yet they're from India. They've come to the United States, and India is impoverished. And they have the caste system, which is the worst system in the world. And so why are people being duped? The New Age movement is called, well, if you're into astrology, and not astronomy, but astrology, it teaches you that we have the universe itself is moving. And it's come to a position now where we've come into what they call the Age of Aquarius. And the New Age movement is the basic thought behind it is that all humanity got into a single thought that they could become divine individuals and make a divine kingdom on earth, and it would solve all the earth's problems. A one world government is really behind it, you see, and a one world thought. And so that's basically what your New Age movement is. In its essence, in 2 weeks, not this week, because I have a politician coming on who's a friend who's running for office here in Imperial Beach. He's going to come on next Thursday, and I'm going to do something.
Yeah, please plug your show. Plug your show, please.
But the following Thursday, I'm going to connect the New Age movement with not only our political system, with the United Nations, and with some people that you'll be very shocked that were involved. And I'll even go back to Madame Blavatsky and Theosophy and how that got into the Aryan belief of Hitler and how Mussolini supported that in his public school systems, which now is in our public school systems. And I'll try and connect that with the appearance of Christianity, which it isn't. And we'll see how we do there. That's in 2 weeks. Not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday.
And we'll give the link to your show and the phone number and the time. We'll give it.
It's 9 o'clock your time on the East Coast. It's 6 o'clock in California. And the phone number to call in if you'd like to listen to the program is 347-945-5416. And you can or go to Nathan on the Spot Blog Talk Radio and look up Sound Doctrine Broadcast with Dr. Ventura. And Joe, I hope that you're going to join us that evening.
I will.
Listeners, because there's
live.
A spiritual side to this. You see, we're seeing the physical. And as Christians, we're seeing what's really physical, but we have the spiritual wisdom and knowledge to understand that there's an under movement behind the movement, that everything that's in this physical world that's going on, and the momentum of the country. I mean, let's face it, I don't think there's anybody in the world that doesn't feel that this earth is on a crash course collision. We're just like two freight trains heading.
Hang on, Dr. Ventura, hang on. real quick, I had a couple of questions in the chat room or comments that I wanted to get to, and I just lost them. But so continue your train of thought, and I'll try to get to them. One person said, one person said, you know, our voice is not heard. And a lot of the blacks in this country, the people who are so against this country, I understand. I'm just going to read into his comment or this individual's comment. They can remain anonymous. I'm not going to give any names out. You know, a lot of the blacks in this country should be deported if they hate this country so much. That's where I'm reading this from. Because, listen, I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of African-Americans in this country that are good people, and they believe in the Constitution, and they'll fight for the Constitution in this country. But most in the inner cities are doing nothing but taking advantage of the system. And they hate white people. They hate the United States. They hate the flag. They hate our military. They hate the Constitution. And many of them should be deported and get the hell out of here if you don't like it. Now, what's your opinion
statement? My opinion, that's a pretty hefty statement and pretty lofty. But my opinion is this. Anybody in the United States of America who doesn't appreciate the country they're in, because when they were born in the United States of America, they hit the gene pool. Anybody, it doesn't matter who you are, anybody who doesn't like our country should leave. Why stay in a place you don't like? In fact, the government should offer them a free ride. But
what if their opinion is this? You know, we deserve this country, or the whites should pay reparations. They should pay reparations, to the white people. I've heard shows about this, Dr. Venturi.
That's a whole nother program.
We've heard black Jesus minister talk on this, how he believes Jesus Christ is black. Even though we showed him scripture that says otherwise. So how do we – but listen, not to get into a debate or an argument.
I have an answer for him and all who think like him. Jesus Christ didn't come to save skin. He came to save souls.
All right, good answer. Amen. But Peter, how do we – but you as a doctor, you as a pastor, someone who's involved in the community, how – do we handle people like this that we are confronting now in our community, in our cities? What do we do? In your opinion, as a pastor, as someone who's involved in the community, what do we do? Yeah, we try to bring them to Christ, but they refuse Christ. And they hate white people. They hate the world. They hate the Constitution. What do we do? What do we do?
Well, there's a lot of white people that are also racist, and they hate a lot of different people. They hate the Constitution. It's not a one-sided story. I think that we continue in our lives as Christians to portray the testimony of our life and let the testimony of our life speak for itself. That doesn't mean that I lay down, and let you run over me. I mean, of course, when Jesus said turn the other cheek, he didn't mean, let them knock your teeth, beat you till your teeth are knocked out. You know what I mean? But I think that there's a great division in the country, and I think it's fed by hatred. And so where you don't have the love of Christ, you have hatred.
Where is this hatred coming from, Dr. Ventura?
It's coming from hatred, and that type of thing is coming from the flesh. It's coming from from Satan. It's coming from sin. It's coming from the love of man is waxing cold. That's a prediction in the Bible if you read Matthew. That in the end times, the love of man waxes cold. And that means that it's growing colder and colder towards each other and towards the government. And so we're in a situation here where we understand spiritually what's going on. We're in the end times. And that's where we are spiritually. And so it's not going to get better. It's going to keep getting worse. But one thing I've always seen in history is that before it gets real to that end of a period of time, there's always a revival first.
An awakening.
God gives
an awakening.
Chance out.
And that's what I talk about, an awakening, yes.
And you look at the Middle East, Joe. Joe, you look at the Middle East and the hatred that's there and portrayed, and, you know, Ishmael's a wild man, his hand's against every man's hand is against his. Well, what's missing in those nations? The love of Christ. You know, the love of Christ is missing. But it's not something that we don't know. You see, if you're a Christian, you should be have more wisdom than people who are walking around in the world that do not have the Holy Spirit or the wisdom of God in them, residing in them, and the book. You see, you should have more wisdom, and you should be able to think more clearly and understand things differently than the average guy in the street, because you have that wisdom.
And before
and so
you go,
you've been
Peter,
blessed.
I want you to plug your – hang on, Peter, before you go, I want you to plug your show one more time, but – I've got one question to ask you. We talked about this on the phone because you and I are friends and we converse a lot. Cremation of the body. When someone wants to be cremated, tell me, why is that wrong in the Bible? Tell me.
Well, I think that when you look at the biblical way of burying somebody, they were put in a tomb, you know, put in a mountain, in a cave, and the rock was put upon it. Or they were put in the ground. They were buried. And so that's the biblical way. That's the Christian way. You know, it's just like in Egypt. The Egyptians shaved their faces and the Jews did not. You know, the Jews were with God and, you know, God had them with a beard. But the Egyptians didn't. That was a pagan method. And so the Jews didn't shave their face. And today you don't see
Jesus wasn't cremated, correct?
For the most part.
Jesus was put into
no.
a tomb. He was buried.
He was buried. He was buried in a tomb, which is the same thing as being, you know, buried in, you know, some tombs were family tombs. And what they were is it's a plot. It's a family plot. They did. Pagans were the ones who burned the people. Pagans used to put them on floats, and even you look back even to more modern times, and you look at the Vikings and how they buried. You know, those are pagan burials. And what they did was, you know, they put them on a float, float them out into the water, shoot an arrow, and burn them. And, you know, and they'd go that way. That's not really – that's no, nothing – nobody's done that in the Bible. It's a pagan mannerism. So the real Christian burial, as far as
I'm concerned. So if I was to die, so if I told my wife and my family I want to be cremated, that's not the Christian or biblical way to go, correct?
I don't think so, but it's not going to stop you from getting into heaven, that's for sure.
Okay. All right, go. That was my point. That was my point, yes.
Yeah.
So
it's
not
going to stop you from getting
sin.
Into heaven. And I understand some families... You know, something. Listen, God knows where every atom in the universe is. When He's ready to call you up, He'll find those pieces.
But wait a second,
I guess the
Dr.
one thing
Ventura,
that I've always
but
wondered
that's
is people.
That's not what you told me earlier. You said if I'm a Christian and I'm saved and I decide to be cremated, that's not the God. That's not the Christian way to do things. So
that's not the tradition.
So if it's not
Christian
the Christian way,
tradition.
Does that mean? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's not a. Burial is a tradition. It's not a commandment of God to bury somebody in the ground. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. And so I just know that it was the tradition of the Jews and so forth. But it was the pagan, you know, was the pagans who burned their bodies. But then you consider this too in our time. You have to say, Joe, you have to say, well, economically, some people can't even afford to bury their own people. It's cheaper.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
You know?
Yeah.
And
that was my point.
Will you not being buried keep you from going to heaven? No, I don't believe that. I wouldn't even suggest that.
All right.
I mean, look at people who get burned up in a fire. Does that mean they don't go to heaven? They're Christians.
Well, so, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I think there are certain
traditions.
I was
able to address a couple people in the chat room and their voices and their opinion. And if anyone wants to call in, all you got to do is call 657-383-0616. Press 1, and I'm not like other blog talk shows where I'll turn you off and shut you up and argue with you. You know, you're entitled to your opinion. Now, I know I got some wackos out there who are on the line tonight. They got their private numbers up, and I know who you are. I've written down your phone numbers, too, and I'm not going to allow you through to disrupt the show. And there's a couple of them out there. We've had them on the program where they'll start calling names and acting stupid. So stop, just hang up the phone. Stop wasting your time. Go someplace else. But Dr. Ventura from Imperial Beach, California, go ahead. Finish up your points. And I do got one caller that's been waiting a while. and you know who this is. He's one of my supporters, and I want to get him on. But go ahead. Maybe I should. Maybe he has a question for you, Dr. Vitter, because I know you may be short
well,
for time.
Yeah, it'd have to be quickly because I have. I'm prepping here to, you know, for my church.
I understand.
I
understand.
3 hours behind.
Bitbanker, go ahead.
I have no questions for Dr. Ventura, so why don't we just let him finish, and then I'll continue from there.
Okay.
Hey, Bitbanker,
right,
like say
ahead.
Hello to you.
Hello. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Yeah, I apologize that I missed you the morning when I was down that way, but we'll get back that way again. We'll spend some time with you, and
I was very surprised you didn't stop. I was very surprised.
It was very early. That was the problem.
It was.
And I didn't.
Dr. Ventura,
and I came in very late.
Me in Green. Dr. Ventura, for those who aren't paying attention, Dr. Ventura visited me in Greensboro, North Carolina. Well, he was driving across the country, and he pit stopped here, and I wanted to do a show with him live, but it was like at 5:30 in the morning, and it was kind of late, but it was fun, and he actually lost his wallet. Lost $200 in cash, found that. It was a crazy morning.
That was insane. It was insane.
Yeah, but anyway, Dr. Ventura, finish your point. Go ahead, because I want to get
well,
to that.
Well, and Joe, thanks for your hospitality. And thank you for your hospitality when I was there. You have a wonderful family and a beautiful
All my friends are always welcome. You see,
Amen.
People don't understand that, you know, on this show. You know, you become a
friend
of mine.
Oh, that's because you're a horrible man.
That's what a lot of these crank callers say. I belong to ISIS, and I'm a racist, and, you know, and all that crap. But
opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, buddy.
But go ahead, Dr. Ventura. Back down to earth. Go ahead. Finish it up.
Okay, I have to go. But looking forward to seeing you all, hearing from you. And tune in 2 weeks. Get a kick out of it. Call in. Don't be afraid to call in.
Give us the phone number. Give us the phone number and the call letters again. And people, you need to write it down because I'm going to call in from my show that night because that's going to be a blockbuster show and I'm going to advertise it because you know what? It concerns us today. It concerns us, and my show is called Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. And why you tune in is because you want to understand. And you want to voice your opinion, and I always allow everyone, including you people in the chat room. I always check the chat room from time to time, and I address questions. Because you know what? Without you out there, there is no show. I'm not like other block talk shows where I don't allow people to have their opinion, or I mute them, or I turn them off because they disagree. No. Without you, there is no show. That's why I invite everybody on, because your opinion matters and it's important. But, Dr. Ventura, go ahead. Talk about this show real quick, and I know you got to go.
Okay. Again, we work on New Age cults and the New Age movement and how it affects politics in our country and our Christian faith and those who are claiming to be Christians who are really New Agers. And we'll dig into that a little bit. But the phone number is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And you press extension 1, you get right into the host. Nathan will be at the switchboard. It'll be 9:00 Eastern time, 6:00 Pacific time. I would recommend this, and I'm not a great Tex Mars fan, but there is a book called New Age Cults and Religions. And it's a little older book. New Age Cults and Religions. And I would recommend that if you want to learn something before the program, pick up the book. It'll be worth it. And when you get done, you'll be shocked. He breaks down most of the New Age groups, including the Illuminati and the Masons and Luciferians. And you would be shocked when you see who's involved in these things, including some of our secretaries of defense. So
hey,
I welcome
Ventura,
you. Thank you, Joe, for the...
Dr. Ventura, but hang on. Before you go... I was at Home Depot today, and I saw a license plate with the scales and the G on it, and obviously that's a Freemason. What's the deal with those people, if you don't, real quick, because I know you got to go. But
well, the Freemason
is a
Freemason. Well, they advertise it because it's a brotherhood. you know, like anything else, any other group. You know, why do Christians put a fish on the back of their car, the ichthys? You know, it's a symbol of, to tell you who they are. And then some of them have their degrees on there, but certainly one thing's for sure, they are certainly worshiping a god that who is Lucifer. There's no question about it.
And thank you very
much. They know it themselves, and anybody who's a 33rd degree and up knows it. They are worshiping the devil. So anyway, we'll get into that in the program. But I want to thank you, Joe. I have to run. Thank you, listening audience. It's wonderful, as always, to talk to you. God bless you, and you're all in my prayers. Stay safe.
Yeah. All right, Peter. Thank you very much. I'm going to connect my show that night so we can get my supporters on. I'll program it, and we'll do a late show that night. But it's just where I can bring my supporters on, too. It'll be a big show. So, hey, thanks for checking in with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Okay. My pleasure, Joe.
All right.
God bless you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. That was Dr. Ventura. He checked in tonight. I believe he's hanging up right now. So I want to connect BitBanker. Maybe I got to hang up on Dr. No. Let's see. Did he? Yeah, he's off. There we go. I want to make sure he gets off because, but anyway, if there's anyone else too, hey, you want to call in tonight, 657-383-0616. You could remain anonymous. Nobody needs to know who you are. All you got to do is call in. You could block your number if you want. All you got to do is press star 67 and before you dial your number, if you don't want people knowing who you are. And when you connect, you press 1, and I'll connect you. I will, because everyone's voice is very important. Tonight, I don't have any special guests. This was an open forum. You know, Dr. Ventura asked me to call, and I know I got BitBanker, and he has a couple things to say, and then we'll start to begin to wrap up the show unless a couple other people want to check in. I know I've got 5 on the line tonight that I don't recognize your number, and you're more than welcome to press 1, or if you just want to listen, that's okay, too. So, BitBanker, I'm connecting you right now. BitBanker from Meriden, Connecticut. Go ahead.
That is I. It's been very interesting listening tonight, a whole gambit of conversation. And let me say that I've been in the chat, and I've been chatting with someone in there, and our voice is ignored by the very people we elected to represent us. So it appears that our politicians are nothing more than self-serving SOBs. And that's exactly true. And they say they're going to do one thing, and then they go off and do another. That's like the 33-degree Mason that Mr. Ventura was talking about. I was in a Masonic lodge, and they explained it all to me. And it was a lie when they told it to me, or it's a lie you're hearing now. We don't know. What they told me, as a Mason, you deal with a higher power. The power may be God. The power may be the devil. The power may be a 2x4, but you believe in a higher power. Now, I have rights to say whatever I want to say, and I'm protected by those rights and until Hillary gets in there, and who knows what she'll do. But, you know, we talk about blacks, and we talk about, you know, the way they are and everything, and illegal immigrants, they're coming over here for welfare and everything like that. And those are absolute statements, and for the most part, they're probably true. But there's also white people that are the same way. Now, you know as well as I do, the Mexicans come here, they work like hell. They're very hard workers. Are there others coming over, like Trump indicates? More than likely, exactly. And the same with blacks, like you said. The inner city, right. They're there for a free ride because that's the way they've been brought up. And it's our culture. Our culture is in moral decay, just like in the chat. And is that being purported on us by those politicians that we elected so that they can get their way? Because, you know, I don't believe the politicians actually run the country. They think they are, but they're not. They're being told what to do, or they're being forced what to do. Now, it boils down to 3 things. That's what it boils down to, 3 things. And if Trump gets in there, you don't know if Trump has been put up there by the Clintons to get her elected to play one against another. These people are so corrupt, so immoral, so crooked, you can't believe a word that comes out of their mouths. If their mouths are moving, you know it's a lie. I mean, just look at Hillary on stage. God, she should hide her damn head in shame and run. She really should, after what she's done to this country and everything that's come out about it. But she stands up there on stage with the rapist in the audience, and you know what? He looks at you like he's God. And, you know, and that's, but it boils
yeah.
down to three different things. It boils down to three different things, just like the radio man says. Language, borders, and culture. We need language. We speak English in this country. That's what we speak. We don't speak Spanish or anything else. We speak English. So I don't want to press one for a different language. We need borders. Stay the hell out, because we have laws. You want to come in, you come in the right way. And we have a culture. And the culture isn't free welfare, standing on the corner, smoking crack, and ripping off people's cars and breaking into stores at night, or closing down highways because you're paid to do that. Because you may not be paid to do that, but the people who are telling you to do it are being paid to do that because they have an agenda that they're not telling you about. Go get a goddamn job and work for a living. That's it.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have time to stand out in the highway saying Black Lives Matters.
That's
you know,
right.
And I want to put that as a show. I want to do that next Thursday. I'm going to advertise it. I'm going to start tomorrow typing that up. I want to do a racial show. What? Let's address the racial issues of this country on this show. And if you people want to call in, you can call in. But we're going to talk. I'll be here and my supporters will be here. And this is the chance for people to argue with what Big Banker just said. You know what? And I agree 100% with what he just said. You know, the Mexicans come over here, and I'm going to tell you right now, I owned a landscaping business. And the Mexicans, I love to hire Mexicans to work for me. They were the hardest working people in, listen, they worked. They don't care. As long as you pay them at the end of the day, they'll be there the next day. They were, and there was a lot of white trash out there. You know, all they wanted was that $20 bill so they could buy a six-pack at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they wouldn't show up the next day. And as far as the African-American worker, oh, Lord, they couldn't pick up a shovel and dig a hole. The life depended on it, you know. So, oh, I know that was a racist statement, but it's the fact and what I saw and what I observed in my community when I hired people as a business owner. Whether you like it or not, that's what I saw, and I'm not going to be politically correct and deny it. And that's the problem. We need to have accountability and truth. And BitBanker, you're absolutely correct, and that's what inspired me to have this show next Thursday. And if you're in the chat room, and if you're on the line and you don't want to press one, tell your friends about it. Maybe they'll have the balls to call in and voice their opinion. Even I don't care if you're going to argue with me. I want to hear facts. I want to hear the truth. I want to hear what your opinion is. And I think this show needs to be addressed, and we need to do it because, you know, and that brings up another question. Is Donald Trump a racist? Come on. The guy don't give a crap about race. He's a billionaire. He lives in a tower, Trump Towers. The guy is a billionaire. He's hired blacks. He's hired Puerto Ricans. He's hired Chinese people. He's hired Koreans. He don't give a crap as long as you're qualified to do the job. He's not a racist. He's not out there with a robe on his head with a cross, burning a cross in the middle of the field. He's not a racist. You know, it's all a bunch of bullshit, and this is what the media, you know, I'm looking at other blog talk shows, and they say, if Donald Trump is elected, all the blacks in America are going to be in chains again. Come on. How unlikely would that be? You mean to tell me, as soon as Donald Trump says, I swear to uphold the Constitution, blah, 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 and his first thought, as soon as he walks into the White House, he says, I want all the black people in America in chains, and I want them sent back to Africa. How unlikely is that to happen? How stupid is that? How stupid is that? You've got to be a total jackass to believe that. Come on, man. You know? And Hillary Clinton, she's more likely to do that than Donald Trump, if you ask me. So anyway, anyone else want to contribute? If you're on the line, press 1. BitBanker, I'll let you wrap it up if no one else is going to contribute tonight, because we are running a little short on time here. And I like to wrap it up. But if anyone else wants to voice their opinion on tonight's show
or has a suggestion for a future show, then you need to do it now and press 1. Otherwise, BitBanker, go ahead and give me your closing comments, and I'll start to wrap up the show. I can't see my chat room. The chat room, and this is Blog Talk, with all their stupid ads that they pop up, and they block. You know, they even block me out of the chat room sometimes, and it's pathetic. It really is. I can't even get to my chat room. And I know it's kicked 4 people off the chat room. I got one person who sent me an email, and I got one person say, hang on. I worked with Negroes and blah blah blah. They blocked out his words. What a difference. Well, you know, black hatred is taught from childbirth, and the white man is responsible for their lot in life. Good blacks are in the minority, and that is the problem. Well, I agree with that. You know, our voice is ignored by the very people we elected to represent us, so it appears that our politicians are nothing more than self-serving son of a bitches. I agree with that. You know, so, Flycatch, thanks for your opinion tonight in the chat room. I appreciate it. I'm sorry for the guests that got kicked off. I just got 3 emails that said they were kicked off. This is Blog Talk. With all their bullshit ad pop-ups and all that, you know, it's like... And I got another one popping up on me right now. But BitBanker, well, I still got you on the line unless someone else wants to press 1. That's the safest bet, you know. If you can't call in, I'm sorry, but the safest bet is to call in and listen, because the chat room, you get kicked off sometimes, and it's not me. BitBanker, go ahead. Give me your closing comments, and we'll wrap it up.
Sanctuary cities. You know, it's all about the money, you know. Give the city federal money and get the immigrants, get the illegals in there. You know, let them crap in the streets, let them piss in the gutter. That's okay. Right in public view, that's okay, because that's our government at work for us. Language, borders, and culture. We have no culture. Kids come over here. This is just a figure of speech. They live 20 in a household, but they have a culture. They all work for one another. The Italians come over here years ago. They built America years ago. They have a culture. We don't have a culture. We're in moral decay, just like in the chat. And I believe it's being pushed upon us by our elected politicians, who are nothing more than basically scum. And I don't know of any out there that are really any good to talk about. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I say I will vote for Trump next time when I see what he does this time, because I just don't believe any of them have a backbone. Any of them can open their mouth without spurting out a lie. None of them have anything but another agenda on their mind. We need borders. We need to keep the people the hell out of here, because they don't belong here. Because if we don't keep these people out, then we'll never have culture. And we need a language. We speak English. We don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, BitBanker, and I want to thank Flycatch, who was in the chat room, and we had a bunch of other people in the chat room, and some of them got kicked off. I apologize for that. You know, maybe it's my computer. I don't know. It's a studio, but maybe I can only handle so many callers. I don't know. I know there were a few people on the line tonight. They got bounced off. You know, I apologize, but I always... But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, BitBanker.
Let me finish. We were talking about language, borders, and culture, and that's exactly what it's all about, because there is no culture here. The white people have no culture. You know what? We ridicule the black people and everything like that, and for the most part, that's true. But there's bad white people, too. But you know what? At least they stick together for the most part in their families. They may have 10, 12, 15 people living in a house, and they're all helping one another. Sure, they may have 6 or 7 women that are pregnant and are all collecting food stamps, but they're all sharing the food. But you know what? White people don't do that. You go visit white people as a family, you know what they'll do? They'll hang your ass out to dry. They won't come see you. They won't talk to you. They won't even call you, let alone bring you food or anything else for survival. And that's the problem. That's the problem in America, and Americans need to get back to Americans and help one another, whether you're black, white, yellow, green, or any other color. If you're an American, you need to help one another, and you need to be respectful of the help you receive. Now I'm done.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely correct. And that's why you go to these gas stations, these corner marts. What do you see? The Habibs. And that's not a racial comment. That's what I call them, Habibs. It's a private joke within the white community, I guess. Just like the blacks have their own private jokes. And, you know, you got the Indians. You know, they work these gas stations, and they hire their own family. And they took over the food bags, the Cumberland Farms and the 7-Elevens, and even the Simpsons, the cartoon of Simpsons, you know, with the guy with the Slurpees, you know. I mean, you know, and we recognize that because you want to know why? Because they come over here, they all stick together, the family, they all work together, they put their paychecks together, they live in the same house. And they all work at the business. Hey, you so-and-so work at 7 o'clock. You're there. And so-and-so is there at 3 o'clock. And the other one's there at 11 o'clock. And they got the store open 24 hours a day. But what do we do as Americans? And I'm a white Christian. I'll criticize my own people. What do, white people? We screw each other over. Within even within our own family. Mine. It's my money, you know. I'm not getting up to help you. I'm not getting up to help my brother. What's he doing for me? You know, and that's what the white people do. So, you know, I'm not a racist. I tell it like it is. You know, that's what they do. That's how we support each other, and it's disgusting. You know, and that's what Bitbanker was saying. The Mexicans come over here, you know, they all live 13, 15 people in a little house, and they expand and they grow. And you know, I mean, all I'm saying is we all are, at the end, Americans. We're all living in the same land. Why do we have to be separated from all of us and each other? Why can't we recognize that we are all Americans? And address the fact that we are all Americans and we have one enemy, and that's evil. We need to all fight wrong and evil instead of looking in the mirror and pointing back at ourselves and pointing back at each other. You know, let's point at the evil out there and address the evil, and the world will be a better place for all of us to live in and address. But I want to thank Flycatch, who was in the chat room tonight. He's been, he or she, I don't know, been tuning in. And thanks for the anonymous callers tonight who contributed. And no thanks to the anonymous callers who wanted to call in and disrupt the show, because we had a positive show tonight. We really did. It was a great program. Thanks to Mike out in Wisconsin for checking in, Joe in Sebastian, Florida, Bridget in Reidsville, Elizabeth Rondo in Yalesville, Connecticut. Special thanks to you, several others. And the next show will be on Thursday. Hopefully we'll have a blockbuster show. And I may have a few surprises for you. We're going to have a racial conversation. Well, guess what? I may get an NAACP member on the show or something else on the show. Just tune in. Trust me, I'll have something for you on this Thursday, I promise. It's going to be a great program. This Thursday, coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/ Joseph Gibson. The phone number is 657-383-0616. And it'll be a great show this Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless everybody. Good night. Take care.
Appeared before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
I'm Jim Tucker. I've chased Bilderberg for 30 years. I'll never give up the chase. Bilderberg plan for the whole world is nothing less than world government.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Who elected these guys to run the planet?
They are the elitists. They feel they should run the world for their own selfish interests.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
David Rockefeller admits in his own memoirs that he wants to destroy the United States. He's a traitor!
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
I need you to move off the property, please.
Some shots were fired.
There's Bilderbergers right there.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a vital part because we stop it here in Texas. We stop the new world order right here in Texas.
This thing started here. And to save this country, we kill this damn thing here.
Chance for the President of the United States to carry out a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
Your new world order will fall. Yes. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Finest people, where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield. I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundreds. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arms. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free-
dirty men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Right? Against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. All right? Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your bed, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Blog Talk Radio, folks, blogtalkradio.com / Joseph Gibson. Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Phone number is 657-383-0616 if you want to call in and listen, or press 1 and you can contribute, and I will patch you through. Understanding the times in which we live in today. Very important for all of us to understand the times in which we live in today. So please tune in to our next show, which will be on Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you. God bless. Take care. Good night.